Man, God is good. I'm glad to see you. If you're here for your first time, can I just see your hand? Just thank you for coming right here. Thank God for you. Anyone else, first time in the balcony? Thank you for worshiping with us today. And we're a church that God just has given a lot of grace and mercy to. And we're so thankful and appreciative for all that he has done. And we know he's got more for us, without a doubt. Again, Jeets and I want to thank you for partnering with us with thousands of churches around the world on this 21-day time of fasting and prayer. Remember, somebody prayed for you. And if some of you were like me, you needed a lot of prayer. And during this time of prayer, we've seen many souls saved, people healed, people filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's worth giving God praise for. God is not, he's not done yet. In the book of James, which will be coming from today, James 5 and 16, it says this: the earnest prayers of the righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And I know some people aren't familiar with that particular passage or that version, but it says this: the effective, fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much. I want you to pray with me as we continue this message or series of messages on prayers that get results. Say it with me: prayers that get results. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for all that you do for us. For you've made a way for so many of us when we couldn't see the way. You've opened doors. God, you've stopped the hand of the enemy and said, nope, no further. Father, we could have been dead and gone, but not so. We're here, and we're here to give you praise and glory. And Father, we thank you for all the many things that you've done. But most of all, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you for him dying on the cross for us. And Father, we thank you that you have a message for us today. So speak to us in the matchless name of Jesus. And we say amen. Now think of one thing that God has done for you that no one else could do, and give him your best praise right now. Come on, give him your best praise. Bless you, God. We honor you, Father. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something about prayer that makes such a difference. I love that passage when it says the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Reminds me of a little girl that was going to bed. She was amidst of her family, and it was bedtime, and she went up the steps, and then she kind of stuck her head back down and said, I'm getting ready to pray. Do any of you all need anything? I think we ought to have that kind of prayer when it comes to God, that we know that when we pray, he hears us. I love to hear kids pray. I've got grandchildren, and it's a blessing to hear them pray. And they bow their heads and go before God, and I know God hears them. Here are a few of the prayers that I, not from my grandchildren, these are some other kid prayers though. One said, Dear God, please make my parents understand that if I don't eat broccoli, I do better in school. Another one, please, Lord, forgive me for hiding my sister's favorite doll, and please don't tell her where it is. I like this last one. It says, Dear God, I need you to make my mom not allergic to cats, because I really want a cat and I really don't want my mom to have to move out. When I think of prayers that availeth much and prayers that work, many things come to mind. And in the midst of the passage that we've been reading, it says, if there's any sick among you, let him pray. If there's let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of our Lord. And he goes on and says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Help me out. And the Lord will raise him up. And if any has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. And then it says, confess your sins or your trespasses to one another. And I love this passage. This, we need to do this more. Have people that we can say, hey, this is where I'm falling short in. And he says, confess to one another that you might be healed. Then he says, the effective, fervent prayers of the righteous man avails much. And that's usually where we stop. And that's a good place to stop. But the passage goes on, and this is the 17th verse. It says this: Elijah was a man with a like nature, like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Goes on down. And he prayed, that's a key operative word again. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rains, and the earth produced its fruits. Wow. You mean to tell me that when this passage and the writer James was saying, you know, the effective fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, that's not the end of it. He says, let me give you an example. In other words, Elijah is an example of effective prayers. So can I share this with you? Some prayers, if he said the effective prayers availeth much or they work, they bring great results, and that means there's some ineffective prayers too. Oh, got quiet, and that's what he's talking about. Some prayers work, some don't. Why do some work, some don't? Well, Jesus taught us how to pray by first telling us how not to pray. Are y'all with me today? He said, don't pray like the religious group. So you can be seen on the street corners with all your words and all your Bible knowledge. Don't pray like that. But when you pray, have a relationship. Say, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. And then, so when I look at Elijah, clearly, James uses him as an amazing example of effective prayer. Elijah prayed, and man, when people hear about, man, he prayed and it stopped raining. Not just 1 or 2 days, but it stopped raining for 3 years and 6 months. Now, that's effective prayer. Can I get a witness? How many of you all would like to have somebody like that on your prayer team? Man, join my prayer team. Hallelujah. But there's a secret to why his prayers were so powerful. First, he spoke on behalf of God. You know, because when you talk about a prophet just wasn't one that fortune told that could tell you what's going to happen. And many prophets say, well, I'm a prophet because I know this, I know that. That's not the type of prophet he was. You know, I love just reading about Elijah because even his name, when he was born, his name means Jehovah or Yahweh is God. That's why I ask the parents when they bring the children up for dedication, you know, what does that name mean? Because names have significance. Can I get a witness? So the secret to his prayers wasn't just he had a gift, but when he spoke on God's behalf. He spoke God's word, and he spoke what God wanted him to say, the way God wanted him to say. So, say it with me. He spoke God's will, God's word, God's way. And if we do that, we can go forth with boldness. Can I get a witness? We can go forth with tremendous boldness because it's not our message, but we are sharing the message that God has given us. So I put it like this as a point. It just says, when our prayers of faith align with God's will, we'll see powerful results. But it has to start with our prayers lining itself up with God's will, not God's will lining up with our prayers, because we'll pray some off stuff. I've prayed some off stuff. I've prayed amiss before, you know, and God has said, wait a minute, wait, slow your roll, Jay Wayne. I'm just saying, slow your roll. That's not my will, and I have to back it up and say, okay, God, may your will be done. One time in particular, one of my brothers got into a fight, and some people actually jumped him from behind, and it was on a Saturday, and they told me about it Saturday night. I was shook up, man. I was shook up. You know, because all of us, before we got saved, we would fight, and some still will, you know. But they came to me and told me about what happened. His face was pretty badly beaten up. One of the dudes from the church, he's a real good dude. And I know he's on my side, always has been. And he said, Pastor D, he said, can't have that. Can't have. I said, no, man, we can't have that. He said, we got to handle this. We got to handle this. He's from the streets, from Cali. But he got saved, but he still didn't lose his street. So we got to handle this. I said, yeah, dude, we got to handle this. And he said, so we're going to get some holy get back. I thought to myself, holy get back, yeah. Then I said, well, what scripture is that? Have any of you all wanted to respond and then you thought about it? Wait a minute, wait. I can't respond like the world. I gotta respond like God wants me to respond. And do you know later on we had a chance to pray for some of those boys, the same one. I'm not sure if you ever had to pray for somebody that you really didn't like because of what they did, but God says, I don't want to kill them. I want to use them, get them saved, that God might use them in the kingdom. Are you with me today? Come on, somebody give God a good praise in the house. So I have to pray God's will, God's word, God's way. Thank you, Jesus. So therefore, I pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus himself prayed. I love this. He said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup of suffering away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but help me out. Your will be done. Have any of you all ever had to pray that prayer? Have any of you ever had to pray that prayer this week? Yeah, and some have to pray the prayer weekly. You know, no doubt about it, not my will, because, man, if we get in the flesh, we can mess some things up. Can it get a good amen? Amen. But Messiah loved and forgave so much that he said, even, you know, you crucifying me, and they hung him on the cross, and he loved them anyway. He died to restore right relationship with God and man. And if there's one thing I want to constantly be reminded, God, that God, you gave so much for me that I always want to be willing to give my all back to you. And when I found out about this, it makes me recognize that our relationship, he doesn't want anything to come between our relationship. Are you with me today? You know, to the degree that he says in his word that he's a jealous God. And when I read about that, it just blows me away, man. He says he's a jealous God. And in Exodus 20:2, he says, I am the Lord your God. Check this out. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And he says, you shall have no other God before me. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Yeah. Then he says, you shall not make any for yourself any carved or graven images and any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or earth or beneath. So, or even the water. He goes on and talks about, and I love this other passage, Exodus 13 and 14. Exodus 34 and 14. It says, you must not worship other gods. For the Lord, whose very name is what? Jealous. Man, that kind of blows you away. It says, my very name is jealous. He's jealous about his relationship with you. Wow, let me say it one more time. He's jealous about his relationship with you. That means that he doesn't like you loving anyone else or anything else more than you love him. Hallelujah. It's getting quiet, and I got my stuff, Lord, so you got to just hang out and get in where you fit in. Can I let you know that God will not be your chick on the side? He absolutely won't. So I put it like this. Our prayers are effective when our love and loyalty to God is holy and not an open relationship. God ain't looking for no open relationship. I'm going to preach, and then after that, I'm going to do it after. I got to bring this message, and then we'll bring the so the sound is ready. So y'all let me know before it's over with to call them up, because I'm going to finish this right now. So hallelujah. Somebody give God a praise. So we're living in a day and time to where loyalty is not a big thing anymore. Loyalty is something that people come today, we're here today, I love you today, I'm in covenant with you today, but I'm doing my own thing tomorrow. But that's not how God operates. Can I get a witness? You know, especially if he's done something great for you, especially if he picked you up when you was a mess, dusted you off, and gave you a new name. He said, no. I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. the house of bondage. And can I let you know that Messiah also spoke the same thing when he began to talk to his disciples and was teaching them about when there's a man, when he has a demon and the demon is cast out and the demon goes running around looking for places of rest, but when he can find and he comes back to that same place because it's empty and cleaned, he says he brings back with him seven more demons, and worse is the case of that man than it was in the beginning. So he's saying when you get free, you need to don't turn back to the same stuff that you came in. Don't be like a dog that left his vomit and returning to it. I'm preaching better, you amen, but that's okay. We live in a day and time that there's too much division, too much, I'm half over here, half over here, and God is saying, no, you need to be all in, all of mine. And some of you all that are, you know, really, really holy, you might not know what an open relationship is. That means that we both agree to do who we want, when we want, whenever we want. You know, there are really no rules, regulations, and you can't cheat because we both understand that this is what we want. Are you with me today? It has been said that there's 25% of Americans are interested in open relationships. So it's an issue where when there's an open relationship with the thought process of, you know, there's no commitment, no loyalty, you do what you want to do, you know, they would like to bring the same thing when it comes to God, and God is not into open relationships. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's not into it, and he will not tolerate it. In fact, that's what happened to His people, the people of Israel at that particular time. Why? Why was Elijah coming to them anyway? Because they had gotten off track. They had placed so many things before God, and now God had become just another God. Thank you, Jesus. They had temples that they built for these other gods, and one in particular, his name was Baal, or we some call him Baal, if you will. But he was one that was like they made an image of a bull, and this bull, they would sometimes sacrifice children. That's why when I see children, I'm thanking God for children, because children are heritages of the Lord. They're not for your disposal. They're a heritage of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so glad y'all happy about children. This is Youth Sunday. And the two or three clappings. I said children are heritage of the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And when you talk about Baal wish worship, his very name is about possessing and ownership of something. It's about fertility and seasons, but yet and still, when Elijah spoke and said there will be no more rain for 3 years, he could not make anything happen. I don't care how they prayed, they couldn't make anything happen. Why? Because God, the God of all gods, the one that has control over everything, the one not only has the ability to make it rain, but he has the ability to open the Red Sea and cause people to go through on dry land. That's the type of God I'm talking about. Thank you, God. But they were worshiping this bronze bull. And I think that there's Baal worship to a degree. In this year, 2023 Commonwealth Games, 56 nations kicked off a celebration this month, August 6th, in England. And the people wheeled out a massive bull, fire-breathing image. And the bull looked like a demon god, Baal. And people stood with their hands folded and raised to this bull, this image. And some say it was by accident. And some say, well, our mascot is a bull. No, we're talking, the mascot is a cartoon bull. This was a metal bull, huge, with fire coming out of his nostrils. Someone clearly staged it and knew what they were doing, even when they were bowing down. That's why I tell parents, watch what your children are watching and watch what they are listening to. I'm so glad y'all love me today. Since that went over so well, I'm going to say it one more time. Parents, watch what your children are watching and what they're listening to. They've got demon cartoons now that's praying to the god of this and the god of that. They've got witches, good-looking witches on TV, and they say it's okay. Witches and warlocks doing things. They say, oh, that's a good witch. Don't let that stuff get in your kid's spirit. But God let me know that this may not be received very well, but I got to preach it anyway because I didn't come to make you happy. I better come and do what God says do. There are evil music that's produced to seduce our children. And then when you talk to some of the parents, they say, oh, that's just entertainment for fun. You know, do you recognize those words have power? Have power. And they're talking crazy. I look at that one of them, and you know I don't regularly listen at that kind of stuff, but I was checking this beat out, and one particular, you know, beat, you know, because I know they got some player songs and Yo Cheatin' Heart. These young folks don't know about that one, but they've got the Pointer Sisters singing I Know You Got a Chick on the Side. But it's about being unfaithful. Now, don't act like y'all just doing the bump to it. You got a chick on the side. Quit playing. But this one just recently kind of got me because I listened to it and I was like saying, man, because it's got a real good beat to it. I was, you know, I like the beat. Now I listened to what the young lady was saying. And she was, because I knew, you know, dudes, they try to be players. But she told me that girls are players too. And I listened to some of the words. I was like, good gracious, you know, talking about, you know, you think you're the only one, but got FOMO like you. All I want is a good time. I'm telling you what, I'm thinking our kids are hearing this stuff. That girls are players. How many of y'all heard girls are players? I'm just wondering if I'm the only one. Just about three or four people that really need deliverance. The rest of y'all, stones cold say. Listened to another song and looked up the words to it because, you know, this information, when it gets in our head, it can really be a problem. They've got some dude, a girl, a group. It's a group of girls, actually, Boy Genius. And it opens up with an invitation. It says, will you be a Satanist with me? It says, mortgage off your soul to buy your dream vacation home in Florida. It says, begins to quote scripture. Solomon had a point when he wrote Ecclesiastics. He says, if nothing can be known, then stupid is holy. And he says, if the void becomes a bore, we'll treat ourselves to some of our own self-beliefs. The church cannot be blind to what's happening in the world. If we don't know what's going on in the world, then we need to open our eyes. We're talking about, well, you know, as long as I feel good at church, as long as I have a good time, it's more than that. We've got to leave and be the salt and the light of the world. We've got to go into a dying world and make a difference and an impact. We can't sit in here and begin to judge everybody else who's not right. There's a world who needs Jesus, and God is waiting for us to rise up in this last hour and make a difference. And somebody give God a real good praise in here. Thank you, God. I was traveling, and some say, Pastor, well, this need to be, but it probably shouldn't be done on the youth Sunday. Oh, yes, it should. Oh, yes, it should. You know, I was in Haiti, and not Haiti, but Haiti. Yeah, there's a difference. The country, and we were there, and Jeets and I were passing through an area that had all kind of, they were selling different things. And we're on vacation, so, you know, I bought a few things, and one dude was kind of pushy, like not kind of pushy, he was very pushy. And he was like saying, you need to buy this, it was some kind of doll, and you need to buy this, and I'll give you deal, yada, yada. And I'm saying, no, I don't really want that. And he just changed, his countenance changed. He said, I know voodoo. And he said, I'll put a hex on you. And I looked at him. He said, I'll cause you to wake up and you'll be in a coffin. And I was like saying, I mean, seriously. And all because I wouldn't buy his little dog. He's going to put me in a coffin, a box, and lock it up and put a spell on me. And I looked at him. I said, I know you know voodoo, but I know Jesus. And I got the Holy Ghost moving down on the inside of me. Hey, your voodoo can't hang with this. Voodoo is under my feet. Somebody give God praise. Listen to me. I did not buy his doll, but I bought some other stuff. Listen to me good. I brought some of that stuff home. And man, was our church, was our house, this is before we were pastoring, was our house in an uproar. All kind of stuff was going on. Somebody was fussing. I won't say who. Kids was acting up. And I had one of my pastor friends come over. He was like, say, man, there's a spirit taking place in your house. You know, I wasn't preaching, wasn't pastoring, none of that. But I was like saying, yeah, you're right. He said, you know, what's been going on? You done anything different? And then he looked on the wall and saw we had some of these symbols and relics that we brought back. And he said, man, you need to get rid of this stuff. You need to get rid of this stuff. And then we began to intercede and pray, got rid of this stuff. Some stuff you need to throw in the garbage because you don't need it. You don't know what it means. You don't know what it symbolizes. And you walk around with it. Some of y'all need to get rid of some of the jewelry that you got. You don't need an evil eye on your necklace. I'm just preaching. Whether you say amen or not, I get one time at it, then I'm done. Y'all don't have to hear from me for a while. Thank you. Somebody give God one more praise. And you've got to be careful too, folks, because some things are so covert. You know, they're like they're nothing wrong. It's just fun. It's just entertainment. So just do it. Let these kids be kids. But some of that stuff you'll get into and you can't get out of it. One of the words that one of the things that Dancing with the Devil, the lady talks about how she was almost at heaven's door because she had gotten on drugs and she was so far out there, she didn't know if she could get back. But she asked God to forgive her, to wash her, to cleanse her. And she talks about her story, how she made it back. You don't have to get out there. You don't have to make some of those decisions that don't honor God. I'm going to say, we're going to bring this thing. I feel a preach coming on. Somebody shout in this place, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, God. We don't want to raise a church that all they know how to do is do church. We want to be the church. When we leave this place, that's when we become to be the church in the community, in the world. I was in New Orleans, and we were just, wasn't very long ago, and yeah, that's talking about how you have to be very, very covert. Things can be covert. Someone came to me, and they were some young kids. They were school kids, so I'm glad to see that we have some teenagers that are loving God with everything they have, and they came to me, and they said, wait, hey, would you like to help us? We got some literature for you, and they brought it like this. They said, we are some young people that we're a grassroots organization, and we're responsible for the unique sexual and reproductive health needs of our young people. Now, again, sometimes things are so convoluted that you don't really know what they said. I said, now, what did you say? So unique sexual and reproductive health needs of the young people. And I kind of was listening to some of the stuff. And later on, I found out that it had to do with abortion. And they talked about, you know, they're just fetuses. And I know I don't want to get into a political thing, but I will tell you this, is that I'm not giving no money for anybody to be killed, no babies to be killed, whether they're born yet or not. I'm not doing it, and I don't support it. But things can be very, very covert. And this is how it happened. I've got to wrap this thing up. I don't want to see the dancers. But we have to recognize that God wants us to stand firmly on what we believe. Solomon, even though he started off so wise, he says, God, I don't even want money. I don't want fame, don't want fortune. Just give me wisdom that I might know how to lead your people. And then later on, he ends up with thousands of women, and most of which are not women that love God with their whole heart. They were from other different nations and tribes, and they were from other places that did not honor God, but they brought their Baal worship to him. And now he finds himself in the middle of all this stuff. He's got this temple, that temple, foreign God, false God over here. And God is not your side chick. He won't play those games. Thank you, God. Now he dies, and you can barely tell him from Pharaoh, the Egyptian God, the Egyptian king, if you will. And now God sends Elijah. Why? Because he wants to bring mankind back to himself. Why has God even given me this message? Because he's saying, hey, the church has drifted. I'm saying, I want you to come back to me. Come back to me. So he sends the prophet. Again, the prophet is not there to say, I'm a prophet. He just says, look, this is what the Lord says. So there won't be rain. And see, here's a kicker, is that, you know, you can know you've been drifting, and you can know that, you know, you need to make a turn, but you will stay in your mess instead of coming out. 3 years of drought and famine, and you still refuse to look up to God and say, God, I need you. 3 years, 3.5 years, no rain. And the man of God said there'll be no rain. And finally God says that I'm going to open the heavens. I'm going to send rain. So he sends Elijah to Ahab. And King Ahab wants to kill him. He's been looking for him. He'd been traveling the different places to see if they could get him. And now he finds Obadiah. Obadiah is King Ahab's chief of staff. But Obadiah is a man of God, and he recognizes it, and he saved and preserved 100 more prophets of God that Jezebel tried to kill. Jezebel's his wife, the King Ahab's wife. And now he comes and says, I want to meet with the king. And Obadiah said, wait a minute, man, you trying to get me killed? He said, nah. He says, I'll be there, he says. So they set a meeting, and soon as King Ahab sees him, he makes his bold statement. He says, that's the man that has destroyed Israel. And then Elijah said, it's not me that's destroyed him. It's because of your evilness, your wickedness. How many of you know people would like to blame somebody else? So it's not me that is destroyed. I'm just a voice piece of God. You're the one in your evil practices. And then he says, here's what I want you to do. This is what the man of God says. Meet me tomorrow morning at Mount Carmel. And I can see it now. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible when it talks about the man of God with his boldness being amped because he knows God is with him and God is for him. He says, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make an altar. bring two bulls. And interesting, they use a bull again. And they say, put the wood there, put the rocks there. But he says, and put the meat on top. And the God who answers by fire is the true God. Thank you, God. How many of you all know today that we're going to have to stand, and sometimes the enemy is going to be bold and in our face and bodacious, but we've got to say we know who we are, we know whose we are. I don't care what it looks like. I'm not bending, not backing down. So they're there, and he tells them, he says, you go first, and this is what you can do when you bold. You go first, do what you do. And he says, it's 450 of you all, and he makes this proclamation. Grasp this. He makes this proclamation to the Israelites. He says, why are you standing there between two opinions? Why are you so fickle? Why don't you say you're a Christian, but modern day, you say you're a Christian, but you're acting like the world. You say you're on our side, but you act and talk just like the world, that you do everything they do, and there's no difference between you. Why are you on the fence? That's a word today. Why are you on the fence? If you're a believer, live like it. If you have been delivered, say so. If he's brought you out of darkness, open your mouth and let somebody know. Oh, I feel a praise coming off. Glory to your name. And they sit there, didn't say anything. They didn't say, have you all ever, I'm not saying I ever had the situation, you all had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and the one that you gave the ring to, they come to you and say, "What? Well, tell her." And they look at you like, "Well, I don't know." Tell. Then you look for something to hit them upside the head with, because you say you. He is saying you need to say something. And then at the end of it, they cut themselves, cry. They dance 3 hours, 4 hours go by, and then Elijah begins to tease. He begins to say, "What's wrong with your God? Maybe he's asleep. Maybe your God is deaf. Holler louder. Maybe he went to use the bathroom." Serious business. You can't make this up. This is God's word. Then he says, "You've had your you had your chance." He said, "Move aside." I think a lot of people at the move aside place right now. You've tried everything you could do. You've tried this. You've tried that. You've tried this remedy, that remedy. You've tried drugs. You've tried women. You've tried illicit relationships, and it's not working. Why don't you try God? So Elijah says, Put me some water. Go get me, barrels of it. And he put a barrel of water on the sacrifice. Water ran down. He said, "Give me some more." Goes, gets more, pours water on it. "Go get me some more water. More water." Dashes it on there. Then he begins to pray. Talking about prayers that work. Effective prayers. He says, "God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Today it might be God of Doss, God of Brown, whatever your last name is. God. So these people are here and there. Show them that you're the true God, the true and living God. Show them God. Make them believe, and may their eyes be opened that they might return to you. And after he prayed, the Bible says the heavens opened up and fire came down, consumed the very sacrifice, burned up the water, took everything up. And then people begin to say, "He is God." They bowed down and began to worship the very God that they should have been worshiping in the first place. Can I let you know that God is still God today? Yeah. I don't care what you try to run to. He's still God today. We're going to stand firmly on Him. Say no to every other God. Let God be God. And everybody else a liar.